Mark chapter 10. This is a great history of a blind man, but it's also a great illustration of salvation and just several elements that the Lord records in Scripture that relate to a sinner coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46 is about Bartimaeus. Some of you may have heard of blind Bartimaeus. This is blind Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. The Bible says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Let's pray. We'll talk about blind Bartimaeus this morning. Father, thank you for these words that you've given us. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And really, my prayer this morning specifically is for every soul that's here would be fed, and those that are saved would be encouraged and edified in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then those that aren't saved would see their need for Jesus Christ. And Lord, that really my desire is that Jesus Christ would be magnified in this. And everyone will get what they need when Jesus Christ is magnified. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us do that for the kids in Children's Church and the Children's Church teachers. Lord, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit to minister to the kids. And we would get exactly what we need and put Jesus Christ in his rightful place. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, blind Bartimaeus. He is it's a great account of an actual healing. Jesus Christ says he's going to Jericho, coming out of Jericho, and this man who's blind, I don't know if he's blind from birth. We talked about a man blind from birth a few weeks ago, and I don't know if he's blind from birth, but he's blind. And he's begging. He doesn't have any way of making ends meet because he can't see. And so that's his form of work. And then Jesus Christ, leaving Jericho, hears him crying out and looking for help. He hears that it's Jesus Christ and cries out for help. And after some trying to get Jesus Christ's attention, he does. And when he does, the crowd kind of pushes back and says, "Hey, you know, don't bother him." Then the Lord says, no, call him, bring him up here, and bring Bartimaeus up to the Jesus Christ. And the Lord asks, what do you want me to do with you? And he says, I want to see again, or I want to see. And the Lord says, be it according to your faith. And the Bible says he's whole from that day forward. So Bartimaeus, and there's several things going on here that I think we can really learn from. And like I said, in praying, my desire is that in what we do here, that Jesus Christ is magnified. And when Jesus Christ gets magnified, then everything else in your life will be in its right place when Jesus Christ is in his right place. I think that it will be the natural order of things. But if Jesus Christ gets magnified, people will get fed the way they need to get fed. If you're not saved, you'll understand your need for Jesus Christ. And if you are saved, you'll be edified about things that Jesus Christ is doing and done and all that. So let's take these verses and look at this account of Bartimaeus and his encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ here, and let's pick it apart here. The first thing I want you to notice is in verse 46, it describes the condition of the man. He is blind, the Bible says. He's begging. And so in the physical world, that's what he is, but it's a great picture of the condition of a soul before meeting or before receiving Jesus Christ. You are, spiritually speaking, this is what we go about doing, spiritually speaking. Without light from God, without light in Jesus Christ, we go around searching in the dark for something that'll satisfy our lives, something that will minister hope or peace, or something that will console, that will comfort, that will offer some direction, some guidance. And spiritually speaking, I mean, that's a great description of someone who's lost. You're just begging for hope, begging for help, begging for, and at least part of you is. And then I will say this, though. There is another part of you, this carnal part, not the spiritual part of you, but this carnal part that is at odds with that spiritual, that soul, and it fights against the spiritual things and God and all that. But that carnal part of you, it seems to enjoy fear. It seems to enjoy trouble. It seems to enjoy things it shouldn't enjoy. And it does. But in you, in your soul, you have and you have had a desire to have hope, a desire to have peace, a desire to have security, a desire to have all of those things that really are in Jesus Christ and in His Spirit, in the Spirit of God. And so, blind Bartimaeus is he's going to be a great illustration, but he's also it's a real history and account of a man who was healed by Jesus Christ. So notice his condition. He's blind. He's living in darkness. And if you can imagine the condition, some of you have been saved a long time. Some of you have recently got saved. But if you're blind, every day is darkness to you. Every day is darkness. You wake up in darkness. You live in darkness. You don't know. I mean, you feel around and you try to make sense of what you feel, and so it's a life of just feeling, and I can't perceive what it is. I can't see it, but I feel around and I try to make sense of things I hear and things I can touch, but it's a life of darkness. The Bible describes, he says, the way of the wicked is as darkness, just wandering around. I mean, I hate to use this example because I'm so tired of hearing about it at this point, but the world in which you and I say the world, the world is the people. It's not the earth, but the world is the people and the culture and the news media and all that kind of stuff. The world we live in is darkness. There's no light in this. There's just I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know about this. All I can do is gather information. I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know what context it's in. And it's just blind, feeling around, trying to figure out how to make sense of what's around you. That's the world. That's the world. So that's Bartimaeus. He's blind. Every day he wakes up in darkness. There's no difference between sleeping or waking. It's just darkness. And so he can, I mean, if you were to rummage around, I think about it with the fellow that was born blind, you rummage around through the memories of a blind person. You don't have any images. You just have sounds. You maybe have some feelings associated with things. You don't have any images to put with those. There's no face to put with that. There's no picture. There's nothing to it's a myriad of maybe smells and sounds and feelings and things like that. There's nothing you can see. There's no images associated with it. And he's stuck on the side of the road, and nobody can help him. I mean, they can give him money. If oftentimes, I guess, give him money, but they're not going to be able to solve the blindness. They can't bring light into his life. They can manage some symptoms, but they can't fix the problem. So he begs, and folks look like they help periodically, and there's something to be, I guess, said for helping some of those things, because people can't solve that. So he's blind, he's begging, and trying the best way to handle these circumstances. People adjust to accommodate their problems. They adopt lifestyles just the way they live to provide the most comfort and accommodate the infirmities they have. That's Bartimaeus. And then Jesus Christ comes by. And apparently in Bartimaeus' world, he has heard enough sitting outside of a synagogue or wherever he's been sitting. He's heard enough from what's been read in the scriptures that when he hears of Jesus Christ, he knows this man is something special. And so when he hears that Jesus Christ is passing by, think of that song, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." That's where this comes from. And here's Jesus Christ is passing by, and he knows, he's heard enough from the scriptures that this man can, and heard enough, I guess, testimony of what this man has done, he knows this man can help me. And so in verse 47, he cries out. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He knows the power of God is on Jesus Christ. He knows his condition. And I'll say that's important in this. Bartimaeus understands his condition. I think physically it's easy to understand the condition. But one of the biggest hurdles to people coming to Jesus Christ in this context, in this culture, in this world, in this, community, is people not understanding their need for Jesus Christ. They don't understand the trouble that they're already in with God and sin. Bartimaeus understands. He cries out. He knows where the power of God is. He recognizes his infirmity. And then when he does this, inevitably, and that's why I say this is a great illustration of someone coming to Jesus Christ. Inevitably, when someone starts to move toward Jesus Christ in their life, in any way, you probably have some examples maybe within your family, but when someone starts to move toward Jesus Christ, there is always going to be opposition to that. And so Bartimaeus, he's Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I'm over here. Can you help me? Can you help me? He doesn't know where to wave to, or he can't see any of that. He's just yelling out, trying to get Jesus Christ's attention. And in all that, some of the folks that are around Jesus Christ start to you need to be quiet, calm down. Just sit back down, calm down. And there's some opposition to it. Notice in verse 48, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." This man is blind. This man knows where to get help, and you're not going to stop him from getting help. He's got to go to Jesus Christ. And so here's the folks, they're kind of pushing it back. And just like in reality, anytime you make a move toward Jesus Christ, trying to serve him more, trying to do whatever, I mean, get saved, whatever the case may be, you make a move toward Jesus Christ, there is always natural opposition to that. Always. And don't be surprised at that. Don't be surprised that there's opposition. There's going to be opposition to it. You got to get in the... That's why Paul says it over and over about the endure hardness and be a good soldier and all that. You got to get it in your mind that opposition is a normal part of this. It's not out of character. It's not out of the norm. It's not God trying to hurt you. Opposition is a part of living in a world that hates God. And when you try to make a move toward Jesus Christ, there is just natural pushback in schedules, in daily routines, in just the course of this life, there's just natural opposition ingrained into the very system that we live in. And so when a person starts to move toward Jesus Christ and all of a sudden there's some pushback, that's routine, that's normal. So and you watch and you kind of... Some of you have been saved a while, and you watch that kind of thing, and you see that somebody who comes forward or trusts Christ or says they want to trust Jesus Christ, and so you kind of watch how this thing's going to play out and see, okay, is this an emotional response, or is this going to be something that's going to, once you hit opposition, it's gone. There's no more faith. It's done. And unfortunately, that's a lot of the case. It's just the world just is it's the world. It's what it's going to be. So Bartimaeus, he is trying to flag down Jesus Christ and trying to get Jesus Christ's attention. The opposition is there, and you're just going to face opposition. There's always opposition to you drawing close to the Lord. I know I've said it before, and it's so true. One of the most basic elements of your walk with Jesus Christ, if you're saved, is your prayer life. But I would bet most folks in here, most, not all, but most, don't have the prayer life that they would like to have. Most folks, I would imagine, when you try to pray or you want to get serious about things or whatever the case is, you just want to have a routine of prayer, you'll find when you try to pray, thoughts of everything else in your mind, flooding your mind about what I need to do, where I need to go, what bills I need to pay, what's going on during the day, what's going on during the week, where are we going, and that's your prayer life. It's, here's my list, and I sit down to pray, and as I sit down, I'm thinking, okay, let's pray for, Lord, please help so-and-so. You know what? I got to mow the yard today. I got to get that. Oh, okay, back to this. Lord, also, please help this person. They need this and that. What's that? There goes my phone. There's my phone. What's that? You know what it is? It's just the way life is. And so don't be surprised at it. I mean, you can try to take some steps to alleviate some of those distractions, but the point I'm making is one of the most fundamental, basic elements of your relationship with the Lord. People say, well, and you've heard me say it before, people will say things like, well, when you get on your knees, the devil just trembles. The devil does not give a flip about you being on your knees. He just doesn't care. His mindset is distract, distract, destroy, destroy. It doesn't matter what you're, you know, oh, I'm making him tremble if I do this. No, here's what you do. You get down, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray. All right, we're going to pray today, and we're going to pray for all these things. And then the devil comes up, and he says, yeah, let's go ahead and pray about these things too. And he gets right down there, and you start, you know, Lord, we need to, I ask you to help so-and-so, and the devil's like, you forgot to pay that bill. You're going to have to get online and pay that bill today. And so I'm trying to pray and thinking, where are these thoughts coming from? What is this? You know what this is? There's just natural opposition to the very fundamental, basic aspects of your Christian walk. Just natural opposition. The devil is no more afraid of you, your flesh, at every turn. Paul said it this way. He said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. It's just constant. It's just constant. So, and I don't say that to discourage you. I say that to help you bolster up a little bit. I mean, just deal with it. It's just going to happen. Well, I tried to pray and we had all these distractions. Yeah, okay. So did you get to the praying part? No, we just had all these distractions. Okay, so you were knocked off course for a while then. The point is this stuff is just, it's just the way it is. So I say that because here in our text here, Bartimaeus, he wants to get close to Jesus Christ to get some help. And as soon as he wants to get close to Jesus Christ, people start saying, hey, you need to sit down. You need to calm down. You need to stay back. And they start charging him, get back. But here's Jesus Christ's response. After all that opposition and all that kind of natural flow of things, I guess you could say, here's Jesus Christ's response. Verse 49. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Now that's got to be something. For Bartimaeus, after trying to get a hold of Jesus Christ, he again, blind man, he doesn't know what I guess direction to turn. He's just trying to get a hold of him. Jesus, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. And then he hears the hush over the crowd, and he hears Jesus say, bring him here. Now, you'll find this the case in several instances in the Gospels, where there's a crowd around Jesus Christ, and then there's one person or just an individual somewhere that actually has faith, and actually Jesus Christ is going to work with individually. The instances are numerous. Here's one of them. So Jesus Christ stood still. He commands them to be called. They call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Now here's Jesus Christ in the midst of this. And the word the Bible uses is comfort. Comfort. So the message to the blind man is, be of good comfort. You know what you ought to be when all the world is going crazy is, be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. For a couple reasons. Number one, you have the source of comfort in Jesus Christ. Number two, you're a testimony to the world. And if you act just like the world doesn't see any testimony there. I had this, and I've heard this from other sources. So just to use this as an example. So there's a thought, we're sitting with somebody the other day. And so with this all this run on this toilet paper thing, and if y'all know what this is about, I don't know what this is about. I don't watch enough news, and I just don't know what this is about. So the thought came to mind. We're sitting there, and I thought, well, maybe we may. I guess if everyone's going to do this, then I guess we're going to have to get some toilet paper or something. And then I thought, you know what? That's stupid. You're just like everybody else. So, I mean, that thought kind of quickly disappeared, but it's just like that kind of stuff is, you just herd mentality. This fear leads to this fear leads to this fear leads to this fear, and it's just the chain of fear. And I know we're all panicked. But the Bible says in Jesus Christ, you got some comfort. You don't have to deal with things mentally, psychologically, like the world deals with them. You got hope. You got something else. You got eternal life if you got Jesus Christ, you do. So the word used here is comfort. Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. The Lord's compassion is comfort. His call is comfort. The fact that Jesus Christ is going to take notice of Bartimaeus, that's comforting. That's what he's been trying to get a hold of Jesus Christ. So here's just something interesting to note. There's so many little sermons in this whole thing. But notice the ones who are now extending the hand of comfort. These were also the same people who were opposing Bartimaeus before. Now you think about it in your own life. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, you got saved, you got eternal life, there was a point in time in your life where you were the opposition, but now you are the messenger. There was a point when you were the opposition who opposed and caused people to blaspheme the name of God, but now through the call of Jesus Christ, you've been converted to be a messenger and ambassador for him. That's these guys. Like I said, there's so many different sermons in this text. It's just, I don't know, there's just a lot of stuff in here. So the comfort of Jesus Christ, verse 49. And then verse 50, his coming to Jesus meeting here. It's a great, you could preach the rapture on this. And verse 50, he says, and he, that's Bartimaeus, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. So let me give you that rapture portion of this. If you're saved, there is coming a point in time, rapture, resurrection, whatever it is, there's coming a point in time where you will rise, you will throw off these old clothes, and you will be with Jesus Christ. That's Bartimaeus. Now he gets up. He throws off these old beggar clothes that he has. He comes to Jesus Christ. And so just like Paul talks about it in some of his epistles about the old man, the new man, and putting on the new man and putting off the old man. Old man is just the flesh. I know he's not taking his skin off or anything. He's just taking the beggar clothes off. That's the picture. He gets the beggar clothes off. He goes to Jesus Christ. He no longer has the same job he had before now. His job before was begging. That was what he could do. But now he's going to be dressed for the job he has now. You know what Jesus Christ does? In Jesus Christ, that he is the new man. You put on the new man, Jesus Christ. You are dressed for, what do they say, dressed for success? You're dressed for the job you have now. Put on the new man. So Bartimaeus, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And then Jesus Christ says, Jesus answered verse 51 and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Well, interesting question. What do you want from me? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. So here's Jesus Christ's curiosity. What do you want from me? Well, he's going to confess. I can't see. I want to be able to see. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say, be it according to your faith. But you've got a humble man in need, recognizing the help and where he's going to get it from. And Jesus Christ offering, what is it that you want from me? And Bartimaeus, I want to receive my sight. And verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So Bartimaeus is converted from a blind beggar to now a follower of Jesus Christ. But let me say this about just some of our, I think sometimes our version of Christianity. With some versions of maybe what you believe about Jesus, you were a blind beggar, spiritually speaking. And maybe you in your mind, I guess, you came to Jesus Christ one day. But the reality is, you never changed the clothes. You never followed Jesus. You just, I don't know what you did. I don't know what the case is. So here's the absurdity of that kind of Christianity. I think even Brother Cashlaw is talking about it, the pray the prayer type of thing. Just pray the prayer, pray the prayer, pray the prayer. It's not pray the prayer. It's trust Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. That's the gospel. That's what you're trusting. And so when Bartimaeus casts off those old clothes, he's no longer the person he was before. He has a new behavior. He has a new vocation. He has a new job. He's going to follow Jesus Christ now. So here's the absurdity of that. If Bartimaeus had just said, oh, I just want Jesus in my life, but I'm going to keep being a beggar. I'll keep being blind. I'm going to keep sitting here. But you know what? One day I saw Jesus. He passed by me one day. Did he pass by? Did anything happen when he passed by? Or did he just pass by? Because I think with a lot of Christians or people who believe that they prayed a prayer one time, Jesus passed by. And that's all he did. He just passed by. And you sit there begging still, saying, oh yeah, Jesus came my way one day. Okay, what happened? Well, he came by. I prayed. Okay. Anything else go on? Well, not really. I mean, just, you know, I got saved, I think. You know what that is? That's the absurdity of some of the, I guess, what some folks would call Christianity. It's like Bartimaeus just sitting there telling people how Jesus passed by. But nothing ever happened to Bartimaeus. You know what I mean? Well, he came by one day. Yeah, I prayed in a pew one day. Okay. Then what happened? Well, I don't know. He passed by me. There's a difference. There's a difference when Jesus Christ says to Bartimaeus, thy faith hath made thee whole. There's a difference between faith and Jesus passing by. There's a difference between someone trusting and trying to get a hold of Jesus Christ because they have a need that needs to be addressed. And someone just, yeah, Jesus passed by me. And, you know, yeah, I got a testimony of him passing by. Well, he passed by a lot of folks. What was the need that he met? What was the thing that you were craving him to, you wanted him to do for you? What was the infirmity? Where was the trouble that he addressed? Say, well, I mean, I guess I got saved. I don't, the Bible, I know I can recite the eternal security stuff. Okay. There's a difference between Bartimaeus faith, and Jesus just passing by. Understand? The difference is Bartimaeus had an actual need. Bartimaeus struggled and tried to get a hold of Jesus Christ to address the need. And when he finally got a hold of Jesus Christ, some of you who may be in this position, you don't have a need. So there isn't really anything Jesus Christ can do for you right now. You don't have anything that would, you know, I've got everything I want, and you know, Jesus Christ can pass by or not pass by, live, you know, like it or lump it, take it, whatever. It doesn't really make any difference. The point is, again, it's a great illustration of actual salvation. Jesus Christ passed by, but he didn't just pass by. Bartimaeus had a need, and he wanted to get a hold of Jesus Christ because he knew Jesus Christ is the only one that's going to meet that need. There's nobody else that's going to meet this need. And so he got a hold of Jesus Christ. The Lord says, what do you want from me? Bartimaeus says, I want to see. And the Lord says, according to your faith, you're whole. Bartimaeus, no more begging clothes, no more sitting beside the wherever he's sitting and trying to get money. Now he's going to get dressed up. He's going to follow Jesus Christ. Why? Because the need has now been met. Some of the testimonies of maybe it's you, I don't know. The testimony of your life is the need has never been met by Jesus Christ. This is why I've never changed the clothes. I've never changed the life. Because I've never really had a need that I thought Jesus Christ would actually meet. But I don't say that to... I'm trying to get you guys, if you need to. Think about your own life. Think about your testimony. Think about your relationship with the Lord. Because like I said, this is a historical event. But it's also a great illustration of salvation in Jesus Christ. It's also a great illustration of how God responds to faithful people. It's also a great illustration if you've come to trust Jesus Christ, your relationship with Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus has all of those things wrapped up into this story. So I hope that it's helpful. And let me say this, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, the reason you need to trust Jesus Christ, first and foremost, is because your sin will not be taken care of any other way. If you were to die of whatever, probably not coronavirus, but if you were to die of more likely a heart attack, more likely traffic accident, if you were to die without Jesus Christ, you are still in your sin. And those sins are going to be paid for. The reason you need Jesus Christ is because you need someone who will pay for your sin. And not just die for your sin, but also has the power of life, who resurrected out of the grave and can offer you eternal life. Say, why would I need Jesus Christ? Because you're not going to get any of it. You can't get that from Walmart. You can't get that from wherever you want to go. You will die in your sin without life. But to be encouraging, on the encouraging side, when Jesus Christ showed up, one of the first things that showed up with him was comfort. And if you're in Jesus Christ, you know this world, it just doesn't have the hold on you that it had before. It's just not as important as it once was. I Mary Beth read me something the other day, because all the sports, I guess they're all canceling their, you know, seasons, NBA and stuff like that. And she read this thing. It said week one without sports. It says. I had an hour-long conversation with my wife. Apparently, she's pretty nice. and she works in the medical field. You know what? The world is just crazy. It's just crazy. And if you're trusting Jesus Christ, you know what all that craziness does? Not much for you. But you know what you are because you trust Jesus Christ? A testimony to that world. The ones who formerly said, no, no, don't come to Jesus Christ, are now the ambassadors who say, yeah, let's get him to Jesus Christ. That's your position now.